forward and wedged something yellow between the vampire's teeth. He grabbed her, but as she was dragged forward, she hit him on the top of the head. He fell to his knees, clutching at his mouth and trying to scream through the lemon he'd just bitten into.
"Seems an odd superstition, but there you are," said Nanny, as he started to foam around the lips.
"You have to cut off their heads, too," said Magrat.
"Really? Well, I saw a cleaver back there."
"Shall we just go," Magrat suggested, "before someone else comes, perhaps?"
"All right. He's not a very high-up vampire, anyway," said Nanny dismissively. "He's not even wearing a very interesting waistcoat."
The night was silver with rain. Heads down, the witches dashed through the murk.
"I've got to change the baby."
"For a raincoat would be favourite," muttered Nanny.
"Now?"
"It's a bit urgent."
"All right, then, in here."
They ducked into the stables. Nanny peered back into the night and shut the door quietly.
"It's very dark," whispered Magrat.
"I could always change babies by feel when I was young."
"I prefer not to have to. Hey, there's a light."
The weak glow of a candle was just visible at the far end of the loose boxes. Igor was brushing the horses until they shone. His muttering kept time with the strokes of the brush. Something seemed to be on his mind.
"Filly voice, eh? Filly walk. What the hell does he know? Jumped up whippersnapper. Igor, stop this. Igor, stop that. All these kids swanning around, trying to push me around. There's a covenant in these things. The old master knew that. A servant is not a slave."
He glanced around. A piece of straw drifted to the ground. He began brushing again.
Fetch this, fetch that. Never a morsel of respect. Oh, no.
Igor stopped and pulled another piece of straw off his sleeve.
And another thing.
There was a creak, a rush of air. The horse reared in its stall, and Igor was borne to the ground, his head feeling as though it was caught in a vice.
"Now, if I brings me knees together," said a cheerful female voice above him, "it's very probable I could make your brains come right down your nose. But I know that ain't going to happen, because I'm sure we're all friends here. Say yes."
"Oof."
"That's the best we're going to get, I expect."
Nanny Og got up and flicked straw off her dress.
"I've been in cleaner haylofts," she said. "Up you get, Mr. Igor, and if you're thinking of anything clever, my colleague over there is holding a pitchfork and she ain't much good at aiming, so who knows what part of you she might hit."
"Is that a baby she's carrying?"
"We're very modern," said Nanny. "We've got hedge money and everything. And now we'll have your coach, Igor."
"Will we?" said Magrat. "Where are we going?"
"It's a wicked night. I don't want to keep the baby out, and I don't know where we'd be safe near here. Maybe we can get down onto the plains before morning."
"I won't leave Loncra."
"Save the child," said Nanny. "Make sure there's going to be a future. Besides," she mouthed something at Magrat which Igor did not catch.
"We can't be sure of that," said Magrat.
"You know the way Granny thinks," said Nanny. "She'll want us to keep the baby safe," she added loudly. "So hitch up the horses, Mr. Igor."
"Yes, mistress," said Igor meekly.
"Are you kicking my bucket, Igor?"
In a society that had progressed beyond the privy and the earth closet, she would have said, "pulling my chain."
"No, it's the pleasure to be commanded in a clear, firm, authoritative voice, mistress,"
said Igor, lurching over to the bridles.
"None of this would you mind rubbish. And Igor likes to know where he stands."
"Slightly lopsidedly," said Magrat.
"The old master used to whip me every day," said Igor proudly.
"You liked that?"
"Of course not, but it's proper. He was a gentleman whose boots I was not fit to lick clean."
"But you did, though," said Nanny.
Igor nodded.
"Every morning. Used to get a lovely shine, too."
"Well, help us out, and I'll see you flogged with a scented bootlace," said Nanny.
"Thanks all the same, but I'm leaving anyway," said Igor, tightening a strap. "I'm thick up to here with this lot. They shouldn't be doing this. They're a disgrace to the species."
Nanny wiped her face.
"I like a man who speaks his mind," she said, "and is always prepared to lend a towel. Did I say towel? I mean hand."
"Are you going to trust him?" said Magrat.
"I'm a good judge of character, me," said Nanny, "and you can always rely on a man with stitches all round his head."